Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as United move closer to Acuna transfer from Wolves. Also, Osimhen still very much on the table. We've got updates around that as well. Casemiro. But I suppose the first few questions we need to delve into here as we look at the latest news that's come in overnight for Cunha to Manchester United and Osimhen to Manchester United is, and I don't think United can take any of you for fools, how do they do these deals? Because I think the devil is in the detail. Cunha is actually on £150,000 a week already at Wolves. That was part of his upscale when he signed the new deal in January. His release clause is £62 million and Wolves want it all. So how do Manchester United do that deal? How do they then go to Osimhen and start sorting out a deal with him, which I think we probably have done? Obviously, the Europa League and winning that makes a big difference. But when we win the Europa League, as James messaged us about last night, our wage bill goes up by 33% across the whole squad because that's the increase when you're in the Champions League. So what are Man United selling here? Are they selling, magic beans, or is there a reality to what they're doing? Is there sacrifices that will take place? Let's delve into that because, yeah, I'm very excited about Cunha to Manchester United, but I think there's a few realities amongst that we need to discuss. For example, I was interacting with a good account on Twitter today and they were saying if we sign Cunha, that's 60 million of a £200 million budget. Wrong. We don't have budgets anymore. You can't predict what Man United's budget is anymore. We've got to pay £90 million in transfers that we already owe. For example, we've still got to pay year three of Rasmus and Onana and maybe year four of Mount or someone like that or whatever. You know, we've still got to pay £90 million guaranteed. That came from Sir Jim Radcliffe. So £90 million has got to go out of this football club. 33% pay increase if we win the Europa League. But if we win the Europa League, that's £90 million coming in. So we don't have a budget. It's about moving bits of the pie here and going, right, let's have a look at what the latest is on Cunha. Now, we discussed this last night. How do you do a deal like this? Ben Jacobs is saying that Cunha will still join Manchester United even if they're not in the Champions League. But if we're not in the Champions League, we've got £90 million hole. We're not in Europe next year. So maybe you sell Garnacho. So maybe you sell Garnacho to get Cunha. Is that a good deal? Is that a good deal if Cunha comes to Man United and flops and in 2 years' time, Garnacho's at Napoli, one of the best players in Europe? You know, is it a good deal to do that? I think a lot of people would say, yeah, I'd do it. But for me, I'd rather we're buying Cunha in the Champions League with Garnacho still here, fulfilling his potential. So, you know, not everything is rosy and happy at United. Sometimes you get thrown a curveball that you think's a positive and actually can be a bit of a, you know, not a positive. So, look, what I do find interesting is that from where we were 12 hours ago, we had one source talking about Cunha to Manchester United. We've now got more sources than Nando's, and it's definitely, definitely happening. When I say it's definitely happening, what I mean is we're definitely in talks with Cunha and we're definitely confident we can get the deal done. We're not at deal done yet. And I think what's really important, and this is the only thing I can tell you, everything else I'm going to be, you know, going off theory and what's been said by others and we'll shout them out. But one thing I can tell you, and this is all I've been able to glean from anyone, is that this is not a case of here we go later on today, you know, or this week. This is not going to be that. I don't know how it's going to work, but it's not that. Like, yes, it could be like Depay, where that was announced, I think, in March or April, all those years ago under Van Gaal. But what I was told is, whilst that can happen, that's not expected to be what happens. Man United want to get this deal done early, but it still probably won't get here we go until June, So we're probably 5 or 6 away, 6 weeks away from that, which is somewhat hard to stomach in a way, because you sort of like, the last 12 hours have been a roller coaster and we're clearly winning the race, but you sort of want to win the race. I don't want to leave this open for 5 or 6 weeks, because as we know, I thought we were signing Elise this time last year and he ends up signing for Bayern in May. So I don't know whether United can push it to a point where actually we do have it done before the end of the season, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. But certainly the noise is coming out of United is that this is not something they're expecting to announce anytime soon, although positive talks are going on. What's actually going on? Well, I think if you watched the video we put out in the early hours last night, this is exactly what I said, but what I'm enjoying is that what we're saying is actually happening. So, and it's not sourced information that I was talking about, it was just a conversation with you lot. But what I said was, the release clause is £62 million. You have to pay the release clause, but you can do what we do with Xerxes and say, we'll give you a few million more if you let us pay it over a longer period. Because if you've got to buy a house for £1 million and the seller says, I want £1 million now, but you say, I'll give you 1.1 million, but I'll pay it you back over 10 years. That's a brilliant deal for you. Yeah, you pay more, but you're only paying what you can afford over 10 years. Whereas you can get it cheaper, but you've got to have £1 million in your pocket. And it works out for the seller because they get more money. So we can't afford to pay £62 million. So we will do installments. We will pay more than £62 million, but we will spread it out over 5 years. That's what we were talking about last night. Well, this is what Laurie Whitwell has said. Ruben Amorim and Manchester United executives are aligned on trying to bring Cunha to Manchester United. Wolves want the £62.5 million release clause, but there is scope for installments to do this. Now, look, slow sports news, obvious news, whatever. It's still coming in from Laurie Whitwell, and it's still coming in from The Athletic, and it's still the theory we had last night. So I would say that's a big positive, because ultimately, this is how most clubs work in the market these days. I think release clauses are good. Some people would say, well, why do we have release clauses if people aren't going to use them? Because it draws a line in the sand. If that release clause wasn't there, Wolves could say, we want 80 million for Cunha. At least we go, well, your release clause is 62. We'll give you 65 or 70 over 5 years. So that is good news. That is good news. Osimhen, I'll talk about in a minute, because it's good news around Osimhen as well. But I think with Cunha, where we're at is that, and look, breaking news, Newcastle, breaking news, apparently his dream is to play for Newcastle, according to Newcastle fans. Little bit of Twitter joke there. But no, look, we're favourites. We're in talks. The club are aligned. The player is aligned. I think between the lines, there's been conversations between the manager and the player, which is very clever when you play them at the weekend. He's obviously name-checked him in his press conference on Friday. Amorim is getting a plan A here. And again, I don't know how many other people will lock onto that. I think we've got a lot of crap journalism around Man United who don't actually understand what's going on at United. I think we talk on a daily basis and we have current themes that run year after year after year. A manager must be given as many plan A signings as possible. And Kenda we missed out on, and that was a plan A. And Gyökeres looks like we're going to miss out on, and that's a plan A. That's not good enough. So Dorgu wasn't plan A either. Mendes was. So we're not delivering the plan A targets for Amorim. And you don't always get all of them, but you've got to get as many as you can. And Cunha is clearly a plan A option. There's nobody else in that position that we could be looking at. Like, Gyökeres is a striker. Kenda is a right-sided player. And Mendes was a left-sided player. In the number 10, it looks like we're getting our plan A for Amorim. And you know what? That's a real positive as well. So look, somebody said to me, before I start talking about Osimhen, and we can circle back to Cunha, but we've spoken a lot about it in the last 12 hours. Somebody said to me, what do you think this deal will happen? I've done 90% club before. I wouldn't go that high. It's still early days. I wouldn't go 90% at the moment because there's just too much that could go wrong in the sense that, you know, how bad does it impact us if we don't win the Europa League? Is Cunha dependent on the Europa League? I know somebody said it's not, but I don't, it's not, for me, it's not really whether Cunha would sign for Man United if we're not in Europe, because he wants a project. That's not really my issue. My issue is, can Man United afford the deal if we're not in Europe? So some people are going, well, we'll get him anyway. But I'm like, hold on a minute. Let's just be very clear. Unless Sir Jim Ratcliffe is lying to us, he basically said the club is broke in January and there's no money. If we don't qualify for Europe, we lose money. So where does the money come from in the summer if we're broke in January and we're losing money in May? All right, Cunha might want to come to Man United, but where does the money come from? So that, I still think for me, I won't say 90%, but if we had the money and we were in Europe, I'd say 90%. But at the moment, I'd probably drop it down to about 60, 70% because of our situation and the Europa League. I still think that could be a factor. But I'll repeat what I've said before. A lot of people are starting to say this now, and I completely agree. But you know, I said it months ago. To me, Cunha is the signing I want the most. He's the signing that I think is most transformative. And it reminds me a hell of a lot of the obsession I had about Bruno Fernandes for the year we bought before we bought him. There's just something about Cunha that I'm convinced dramatically changes Manchester United in a key position. And I might be wrong. I thought Donny van de Beek would be a good signing. I didn't think he'd be a transformative signing, but I thought he'd be a good signing. But there's something about Cunha. And I get the criticism. I get it. I mean, it's funny. Terry put a tweet out today. I've got to give him credit for it. He was quote tweeting somebody put out, longest time spent walking in the Premier League this season. Cunha is number one behind Van Dijk, Romero, Traore and Konsa. So it's begun already, the negative around Cunha. Apparently he walks a lot. And as soon as you hear about walking, you start thinking about Marcus Rashford. But look, okay, maybe there's something in that. I'm not here to beat down the people who don't want Cunha, right? But all I'm saying is, in my experience, I feel this is transformative. I feel this reminds me of the Bruno deal. And I haven't felt like that about any deal since we signed Bruno. So you know what? That's just my two pennies worth. But he is on 150 grand a week. We're probably going to have to give him 200 grand a week. I think for where he's going to play, that's fine. Mason Mount's on 250. Luke Shaw's on 200. Harry Maguire's on 190. Casemiro's on 350. I can't be arsed with the whole, we can't pay silly wages. Some players are worth 200 grand a week. I'm happy to pay that. We've got to find a way to do it. It'll have to be installments. But I still think winning the Europa League is important to this. And that's where we are with Cunha. I think there was something else I wanted to say. How do we pay it? I've covered that. How do we pay it? Look, very, very quickly. If we win the Europa League and we're in the Champions League, that gives you money to do the Cunha deal. 100%. I think you need to be in Europe next year as well, because you've got to pay year two then and you've got to pay year three. But I think you can do the deal if you're in the Champions League because of the money that comes in. If you're not in the Champions League, I think you've got to start selling people like Garnacho. And that, to be honest with you, I don't think is the right thing to do. But we could still do the deal that way. Bournemouth game on Sunday, not Saturday, with game on Thursday, says Gerard. Thank you very much. Mark, we were never getting Mendes. He was just using us to get a better contract at PSG, says Jason. That may be, Jason, but it was still plan A. We ended up with, I mean, look, there's no way you go from Mendes, who's experienced and nearly 25, to a 20-year-old who's in a relegation battle in Italy. I'm very happy with Dorgu, but he's a learner driver. There's no way he was plan A. In my opinion, if Cunha is coming, Garnacho is being sold, says David. Could be, could happen anyway. If Cunha and Osimhen come, will Garnacho go, says Rupi. I don't think it has to happen if you're going to qualify for the Champions League. But on the other hand, it might be happening anyway. I don't know. I don't think Garnacho should go. But on the other hand, if you're going to play Amad and Cunha, Garnacho goes to the bench, maybe you cash in now. My own, you need rotation, like Kinth says. My only reservation about Garnacho is that on Sunday, he was obviously told to pass and he should have had three assists. He's 20. At 22, he'll be a completely different player and he's a Man United player. That's my problem with it. I haven't got a problem with people who criticise him. I haven't got a problem with people who say sell him. I never have had a problem with that. But don't have a problem. Listen to what I'm saying. He's 20. He's shown a lot of potential. And at 22, he might be on a different level and we just let him go for 50 million quid. I think that's a mistake. I'm allowed to have that opinion. What's happened with the podcast, says Matt? Well, we're not doing it at the moment, but hopefully we'll have an update soon. Patrick says, super off topic. Just wanted to say thank you. I started watching when I was 10. I'm 19 and I've got a son of my own. You don't know me, but you've had a big impact on my life. Cheers, mates, says Patrick. Well, congratulations, Patrick. And I was saying this yesterday. It's amazing how this community has been going for so long and people are just literally growing up through the community. So thanks for sharing that with us, Patrick. It's never off topic. Chuff Bridge says, the last time a deal was reported this early, Chelsea stole the Kenda deal. Call me a cynic, but I don't believe anything coming from the club anymore. Afternoon from Australia, Mark. Should we not be building from the back as our defence is broken along with the midfield? I disagree, Luke. I think the defence, when everybody's fit, is actually our strongest area, bar the goalkeeper. I think centre-back, you've got Maguire, you've got De Ligt, you've got Yoro, you've got Mazraoui, you've got Heaven coming through, Martinez to come back. I feel like I've missed somebody else out as well. And I can't think who it is. But look, we need to bring another centre-back in, but I don't think that's the area that we need the most, the rebuild. I think we need experience in the attack. The Cook costs were not a necessary, Mark. Seems like we can afford the players because of that, says Tony Marshall. Have you seen all these people putting Casemiro in the team over Ugarte? They're six, says Trey. Well, the update on Casemiro might sit some of those people down because I'm with you. I don't know why people want to keep Casemiro for another year. I think in the last 18 months, he's been bad for 12 and he's been good for 3. I don't see why suddenly people are taking a 32 or 33-year-old and thinking he's going to turn into 27 again. He's going to struggle. He still struggles with the pace of the Premier League. The reality is, I think he's having a bit of a renaissance, but how long can that go on for at 350k a week? I think United is a business as well. One of the big reasons we want Rashford gone and not back is his wage. And I think, you know, whether Casemiro's doing well or not, I guarantee you the way that club has been run over the last 6 months, there ain't no way somebody's going, yeah, let's just keep him for another year. So Jim's going to be going, at the end of the day, he's on fucking 350 grand a week. I don't care if he's bloody Rod Stewart. Who's Rod Stewart? Well, he's a very good entertainer from the 80s. But it's not our era, Sir Jim. So can you go with someone else? All right, he's not Messi. He's not prime Messi, is he? So I think that Man United would be looking at the 350 grand a week and going, that's not enough for what we get. I think if he's on 150 grand a week, he'd probably go stay another year, see your contract out. But we're literally paying him £1.5 million a month. Which is more than anybody else in the club. But this is what Fabrizio's had to say. I don't think it's a debate here. I think this is a business decision. This is a quote from Romano. Casemiro leaving is still a possibility. If a good proposal for the player and club arrives, he can still leave. I don't think Casemiro will go, by the way. I think Casemiro is more than happy to stay in Manchester for one more year on 350k a week. And I don't think United can get him out anyway. So I wouldn't be worrying about him going. But I think the club would love to get him out because of the money.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Morning, Mark. Couple of quick ones. Do you think that Garnacho could be involved in a deal for Osimhen as they were very keen in January? Yeah, Dave, I think that's a logical thing. Cunha for number 7. I think, look, this has got nothing to do with the show, but sometimes we drift and I want to talk about Osimhen. But I actually think it's at a point with Mason Mount where if he wants to endear himself to Man United fans, I actually would say, look,
My focus is on getting fit and proving I'm a Man United player. And I understand the enormity of this number behind me. And whilst I want to keep it, I feel I need to earn it by staying fit. And this club means more to me than me wearing it. So I'm going to give it back to the club to allocate while I focus on trying to be a Man United player. Because he shouldn't have the number seven shirt. Like, it's an embarrassment. And I think it's an embarrassment for him. He shouldn't be claiming that shirt and he shouldn't be keeping hold of that shirt. He's had it for 2 years. It never should have been given to him. It was a mockery of what the number seven shirt is. I was on That's Football last night and I was asked to name my top five Man United number sevens. And, you know, you've got Ronaldo, George Best, Brian Robson, Eric Cantona, David Beckham, Cristiano Ronaldo, who I've named twice. So good. Mason Mount. Like, he shouldn't have that number seven shirt. It's not his fault. He never should have been. Who signed that off? Who thought that was a good idea? Somebody who's got no fucking clue about Manchester United Football Club. I don't know whether it was Ten Hag, Arnold, whoever. Klopp, Murta, I don't know. That was absolute stupidity. And if Mason Mount demanded it as part of the deal, he's a prat as well. Like, you've got absolutely no idea of the gravitas of that shirt. So that shirt should be taken away, but I don't think it will. I don't think it will. Patrick Lynch says, do you think Cunha, maybe Osimhen, would make a change in the transfer strategy of the club? Last summer, we didn't make marquee signings. It feels like it would be proper backing of Amrin, which he deserved. You know what, Patrick? He deserves it as well. It is his first summer. It would be a marked change, yeah. Which pair do you think would be most dangerous, Bruno and Cunha or Mainu and Cunha? Amad and Cunha, space. With Bruno and Mainu playing deeper. Morning, Mark. I don't want to spin negatives, but hold on a minute. We're talking about Garnacho. Where does Mainu fit in a Man United side if we sign Cunha? Like, where does he play? Because if Bruno drops deeper, then you're going to have to play Ugarte or Casemiro. And if Bruno drops deeper, it's Cunha and Amad or Garnacho or Mainu or Mount. Interesting. But you've got to get the deal done first. I'm not having those conversations. Morning, Mark. If the Champions League is worth 90 million, but the players receive 33% more, then which is the greater amount? My maths ain't good. What's the Man United wage bill at the moment? Well, look, Casemiro's probably not on 350k a week at the moment, is he? He's probably had the 33% deduction. So you're basically adding 33% onto whatever our wage bill is at the moment. So if our wage bill at the moment is £100 million, then 33% of that is 33 million. It could get eaten up very, very quickly if our wage bill is... Yeah. And this is what I mean. I can't listen to people, with all due respect, who talk about transfer budgets, because if our wage bill is £300 million, 33% of that is basically the 90 million you get for being in the Champions League. You know, it's gone. So I don't know. Great question. Terp, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. Can we get Osimhen if we buy Cunha, says Sanil. I'm going to talk about Osimhen now. And Jadeep says, we as a fan base seem to be caught between narrative and need. At Open Forum definitely helps me. Thanks for what you do, Mark. Well, yeah, because I think that, let's talk about Osimhen, right? You know, Cunha deal close, Osimhen next is basically the story that's being put out there at the moment. And nobody's extinguishing that story. Even this morning, I read this on MUFC MPB. Even this morning, we've got another report saying that Man United have agreed terms with Osimhen, this time coming in from Italy in Tutto Sport. So in the last 3 days, we've had about 9 different sources. All right, might not be the best, saying the same thing. From Africa, from Turkey, from Italy. They're all saying the same thing. There's no smoke without fire. Even Romano said last night, look, no deal has been agreed, but there are talks and it depends if Man United win the Europa League. So, you know, okay, you could be buzzing round at the moment going, we're getting Osimhen, we're getting Cunha, because they're the stories out there. But the reality has to bite. How do you pay for these deals? Because Sir Jim Ratcliffe has told us we're broke. And if we're not in Europe, we're broke. And even if we get in Europe, wages go up. So how do we do these deals? How are we doing these deals? At what cost do we do these deals? Do we have to sell Mainoo and Garnacho to get Cunha and Osimhen? In which case, no thanks. Do we keep them both and get them too? Great. Do we sell one and get one of them? You know, there are mitigating circumstances around this. Of course there is. But I'm also not going to sit here and go, it's okay not to get everyone because we're broke. We have to go and get players like this. So look, around Osimhen, what I know about Osimhen, and I think what we know about Osimhen, if we park Cunha for a moment, is that Man United have definitely held talks. Now, I think this is really logical, but also I'm 99% sure we're doing it. We're clearly holding talks with players now, which is what we should be doing. And we weren't always able to do this. If you think about when Ten Hag took over, he was still at Ajax now. We couldn't be holding talks with players, and we missed out on players because we couldn't hold those talks until the back arse of May, when we'd spoken to Ten Hag about what he wanted. Amorim, as he has said himself, is in constant daily conversation with the technical team about the summer. So we're in talks with players. We're clearly in talks with Cunha, and I think we're clearly in talks with Osimhen. But there is a kicker there. The talks we're having are obviously very dependent on what's going to happen at the end of May with Europe. So on Osimhen, I think there is so much smoke, and even Romano acknowledges it, that we've clearly held talks with Osimhen. And if we've held talks with Osimhen, you don't hold talks with Delap and pick Delap. You just don't. We're not that bad a club. You know, you can't be buying people like De Ligt, Mazraoui, Ugarte, Yoro, Xerxes, Cunha, and then hold talks with Osimhen and Delap and go, let's get Delap. You know, that's just stupidity. So I think it's very clear what's going on here. We have prioritised Delap on the assumption that we're not going to have a lot of money. Now, that could be because we're not in Europe or whatever like that. So I think Delap is the cheap option, if we're being completely honest. I think all our young players are cheap options. I think they tick the box of development, resale value, and cheap. Whereas Cunha, Dilit, etc., they are players to come into the team now. Man United know they need an experienced striker. They've obviously not done enough around Gyökeres as things stand, because he's not even mentioned anymore. But Osimhen does keep getting mentioned. And I think with Osimhen, it's very, very clear that we have held talks with his camp, and his camp have said, okay. And I think that's where we're at. I think we've held talks, and it's not fantasy. I think we've probably held talks with a few players. It just hasn't come out yet. So I think we've held talks with Osimhen, and that's why there's so many stories about it. But we're not close to signing him. We actually, just reminds me, we held talks with Akanji when Ranić was here. And Akanji was interested in coming to Man United. We binned Ranić off. We brought Ten Hag in. Ten Hag didn't want Akanji, and the deal got dropped. But for 2 months, we'd held talks with Akanji, who was interested, and it was, let's see what happens at the end of the season. And at the end of the season, we walked away. So I would say this is what's happening with Delap and with Osimhen. We've held the talks, we've discussed the terms, and everybody's okay with that. And let's see what happens at the end of May. And from Delap's point of view, if you don't take me, I can go Chelsea or wherever like that. And from Osimhen's point of view, if you don't take me, I can go Saudi or, you know, Chelsea or wherever like that. So I think that's where we are with Osimhen. I think you've got to acknowledge the fact that there's too many people talking about it, including Romano. But I think that it's a positive because we clearly are we've held talks with him, probably about terms and wages, etc. But we can't commit. We can't commit anyway because it's April, but we can't commit until the end of May when we've got Europa League football, Champions League football, and we won the Europa League. And then we go, let's do it. And I think that's where we are with that. And that's why it comes down to, again, winning the Europa League, because you win the Europa League, you've probably got Osimhen up front next season. You don't win the Europa League, you've maybe got Liam Delap up front next season. And I think it comes down to that. And anybody who's got a problem with that, or anyone's going, no, come on. It literally is that. We know that. You've got this shiny, sunny, exciting Champions League season next season. And then you've got this dark, smelly, mysterious place if we don't get it. And the difference is you're probably going to get your Cunhas and your Osimhens here. And you're probably going to get, you know, who knows what there. Jack Golf, the pundit in the Mirror, Delap to Saudi, says GP. Yeah, he ain't going to Saudi. Christian says, Osimhen and Cunha would be great, but I'm so nervous that we will get to the final and lose to Spurs and then they want to join us. You know what, Christian? Just to break the transfer spell for a moment, I watched Spurs last night and I got to be honest, Athletic Club is going to be really difficult. Really, really difficult. But even if we get through that, that final is going to be torture. Absolute torture. Like, the jeopardy for both clubs who've had shit seasons, who need it more than the trophy. I mean, that will be... I've watched many, many Man United games that are nervy. You know, Chelsea final in 08 was very, very nervy. Obviously, 99. But that Spurs game, bloody, imagine if you lose it. And you've got to imagine, if we get there, losing it, because that's the reality. But I hope Bodo Glimt do beat them come around, but I'm not expecting it. Mark, four players leaving on wages. Free wages will drop, says Jonathan. Maybe saying we're broke is our master plan, says Annie. Ahmad, right wing back. Bruno and Cunha, 10. Mainly with Ugarte, says Liam. Could work. Aki says, don't believe anything the club puts out. Only positive for any player is Amrim and the fans. I hope the club don't bring just Cunha and ask Amrim to get top four, says Aki. I mean, again, that's another way of looking at it. What if Cunha is the only big signing we make? It can't just be that, you know? It has to be a sustained volume, quantity, quality solution. Would you rather Osimhen and Cherki or Cunha and Delap, says Stuart? I'd rather not answer that question, Stuart, because for me, if we want to catch the likes of Newcastle and Villa, you've got to get Cunha and Osimhen. If I get Osimhen and Cherki or Cunha and Delap, straight away I'm like, I'm not sure. I mean, look, as good as Cunha is, has he not played in a relegation team this year? Like, just because Cunha comes to Man United, he doesn't put us in the top four. He's played at Wolves and been in a relegation battle, so he can play at Man United and still be a good player in the bottom half of the table. One player is not going to change this. Prime Messi is not going to put us in the top four, let's be honest. So, yeah, it's a start, but it needs to be a lot more than that. Irish Whiskey says we need experienced striker, not Delap. For keeper, how about Joan Garcia from La Liga, says Krishna. And also, don't think we've ever recovered from saying we can afford to buy anyone else or anyone all those years ago. That was from Matthew as well. Thank you very much for that. Really do not want to meet Spurs in the finals, says Putter. I mean, look, that's going to take care of itself. We can't dwell on that, you know, for too long, because it will drive you crazy. I mean, in a way, I'm glad we had the Wolves game to bring us back to reality, because I think that sorry, I've just got something else to bring into the show. You know what? It was such a... And I think about Thursday, get your words out, Goldbridge. I think about Thursday and I think, you know, you watch that last 15 minutes of the watch along, you watch the actual highlights. I watch it now and I think we could go out. So as much as it was great, I think a few people got a few grey hairs. It was a very, very positive result, but a very stressful game to watch. And I think that we're going to have that again against Athletic Club. And then if we get through that, it's going to be compounded even more in a final. So, you know, I think you've just got to live in the day, live in the moment. because there's, but you can't, because you keep coming back to like, we need to do this, we need to do that, but to do it, we need to win the Europa League. It's just words, you know, we need to win the Europa League so we're in the Champions League. It's really difficult to do. I think it's going to happen. I've said it since January. I can't change. I think it's going to happen. But the what are the, here we go. I should have just said this from the start. What are the chances of Man United winning the Europa League? As a percentage, what are the chances? We've got the hardest semi-final against the favourites. And then if we get to the final, we're playing an English Premier League side that I think has beaten us in the last three times they've played us. I'd say overall, our chances of beating Athletic Club are probably 40%. And our chances of winning the whole thing are maybe, at this moment in time, 30%. Maybe 30%. I mean, fair play to Archie. He says it's 50-50. I mean, if you think it's 50-50, mate, I would take a pint of that. I don't. It's not a flip of a coin. It's not a flip of a coin. It's got to be max 30%. I mean, Robert McCormack's in the chat. He's normally good at this sort of thing. I'd say we've got a 30% chance of winning it at the moment. If we win against Athletic Club, obviously that changes. You know, I'd say if we don't get beat in Spain, that changes. Maybe it goes to 40%. If we beat Athletic Club, I'd say it goes to 60%. I think we're favourites against Spurs, but I'm never going to be at a point until the last minute where I'm going 90%.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mark, do you think sales have already been agreed for us to go ahead with the Cunha deal? No, Lee, I don't. I really don't. I think Lee's talking about Rashford and Antony. Obviously, those exits will help us with acquisitions. But remember how Marcus Rashford behaved in January. There was an offer on the table at the start of January to go and play football straight away. And he left the whole of January not playing because he wanted probably Barcelona and ended up at Villa. Now, Barcelona aren't the sort of club that's ready to do stuff in June. They're the sort of club that does it in the last minute in August. So, you know, Rashford might be on the US tour. He might be training with the team. Like, I think that I want to focus on the positives of Cunha and Osimhen and, you know, anybody else. But I really do think there's a story around Sancho and Rashford that's going to get told this summer as well. Both of them could be in pre-season training with absolutely no intention of being a Man United player at the start of the season. And obviously Amrim having no intention of using them. But we might have to go through the Ten Hag summer again where it's like, yeah, we get on really well. We've resolved our differences. Everything's fine. And you got Player FC on social media going, we're cooking. When actually it's just a front to pretend everything's okay so they can get their move. I would not be surprised if we have that summer. Certainly with Rashford. Why would Rashford, if he wants Barcelona, go and do, you know, go and sign for Villa at the start of the summer transfer window? I think it could run and run and run. No, look, there's going to be, I guarantee you, there's going to be a lot of frustration in this summer transfer window. There'll be ups and downs, as there always is. I'd be amazed if we go anywhere near Osimhen, says Robert McCormack. Thank you very much, Robert. How do you rate the January window if it comes out we limited spending to ensure better summer signings, says Mike? Well, we didn't limit signings in January to guarantee summer signings because it's a different financial window. So the football financial year runs from July the 1st to June the 30th. The reason we didn't spend in January is because we can't really spend anything else this year because of what we spent last summer. It doesn't work like that. You don't save money in January to spend in the summer because they're different financial years for FFP. We're always restricted in January because of the financial year ending at the end of June. So that's what we did. We didn't spend in January because we just didn't have any money for the financial year. But as soon as the season ends and you hit that hypothetical July the 1st, you're fine. It's a good point about Cunha, actually, because if we sign Cunha, I guarantee it's probably not going to be official till July the 1st. because of the financial year. We won't want to put this on the books this year. I can't see how anybody goes on the books this year. So the whole official holding up the shirt thing, surely that can't happen until July the 1st anyway. It would be very United of us to gift Spurs their first trophy in years. It also would be very Spursy of them to beat us three times but lose the final. Let's get past Athletic Club first. Love United, hate the Ops. Cunha and Osimhen changes a lot for United for me, says Reyes. Look, I was thinking about this last night, and it's only a hypothetical. If Man United brought in Cunha and Osimhen and that's it, I'd still expect to see United climb the table. Apparently, we're only 11 points off 8th. 11 points is a lot in this Premier League season, but that attack is so bloody inexperienced, and it's not even their fault. When you think about Xerxes, Rasmus, Garnacho, Ahmad, it's so inexperienced. And at times, we've been using a front three out of those, what, four players? So you bring in Cunha and Osimhen, and I think straight away, you'd be looking to get another 10, 15 points just from them, which puts you into the top 8. So yeah, I think those two players can be really transformative for us because of that word that's so important, experience. Could you see signings coming out of the blue that we aren't expecting instead of Delap and Osimhen, says Matthew? Yeah, I think last summer taught us that. I think we've had that type of a summer already last summer. Nobody at this stage, in fact, let's be honest, nobody in late May, 6 weeks from here, was talking about Xerxes or Yoro or De Ligt, or Ugarte, or Mazraoui. So if you look at last summer, we don't even know who we're signing yet, really, if we're going off last summer. So yeah, it's a good point. But having said that, I'll always use Elise, because Elise was plan A, the club were aligned, Ten Hag was aligned, and we knew about Elise, we just messed it up. So it doesn't mean that every signing we're going to make is going to be out of the blue. I think there were signings like Branthwaite and Elise that we did want, but we didn't get, that we knew about from probably February. So it's not always going to be out of the blue. I think there will be some signings out of the blue, but there will be some signings that are very public. We just didn't get our public signings last summer of Branthwaite and Elise, but we definitely wanted them. Hopefully this year, Cunha is the public signing that we want, and we do get, and we've learned from our mistakes. And I think it's a great point as well to bring Elise in, because I know for a fact that Elise was like the signing that everybody was aligned on. Sir Jim, Brailsford, Berarda, although Berarda probably wasn't officially there yet, so I shouldn't have said that, even though he was aligned. Wilcox, again, I don't think he was officially there, but you know what I mean? Like, everybody was aligned on Elise. They felt that that was the sort of transformative signing that Man United should be making. And they're probably right when you look at what he was doing at Palace and Bayern. We didn't get him. And I know there's been conversations a few times at Man United over the season where they've sort of looked at that Elise deal and gone, what if? You know, what if we had got that deal? Where would we be as a football club with Elise playing, you know, in a Man United front three this season? And honestly, I certainly think we'd be a better team. So I think United have probably looked at that Elise deal, and my feeling is they've learned from it because they wanted it and they missed out on it because they weren't equipped to do it, and Bayern Munich were. And what I mean by that is Man United were very much, we really want you, but we've got to do a few things before we get you. And they thought that was going to be enough. But then Bayern Munich went in and said, we really want you. We're in the Champions League. We're a massive club. And we want you so much that we're not telling you to wait. We're just going to get you now. And Elise liked that. So I think Man United hopefully have learnt that in football, and remember, we do criticise Sir Jim and his team for not really being that switched on in the football market. Hopefully they've learnt that in football, you can't just go, we really want you, but give us time. You've got to go, sometimes we really want you and let's get it done. And I think that's what's happening there. And also, you know, somebody just said, what about Kenda, Mark? Well, maybe we've learned our lesson again with Kenda, because Kenda was a player that we really, really, really wanted, and he ended up going to Chelsea. We've just had another report coming in from Fabrizio, actually. It's only 2 minutes old. The feeling between the player side and the club side on new meeting was very positive after project explained and terms discussed. More meetings will be needed, but Man United feel they're leading the race for Cunha, as reported yesterday. So, I mean, look, There's a lot to be done. But you know what? Some people would say that's just Romano regurgitating stories. Let's get used to it for the summer. I would say it's an update on a story we want to happen, and it's 2 minutes ago. I would say nothing's changed. We're still in the same situation, having had a sleep and woken up. We're still doing the same thing. So, yeah, some people might say slow sports news, repetitive news. I would say, you know, 24 hours ago, we didn't even know this was going to happen. And here we are with updates from last night that the situation remains the same, that we're still leading the race. It's still exciting for me. And I go back to the point that I think it's such a transformative signing. I have a string. Got an update from Robert McCormack. He is the guy when it comes to, you know, betting odds. Trust me. He's going to tell us what the percentage is of Man United winning the Europa League. Make sure you smash a like on the video, by the way, and subscribe. Thank you, everyone who's getting involved. Matthew says, I've got a strange feeling Mwani will pop back up. Could do. Could do, Matthew. Also, Kim Min-jae the year before when it was nailed on also went to Bayern, says Glenn C. I mean, yeah, should we be worried about Bayern and Cunha? Look, what I was saying there before the Romano update still stands. We have to learn very, very quickly that where Manchester United wait for us doesn't work with some players. And I think we've probably learned from Elise and Kenda that with Cunha, we've just got to find a way of doing this deal. And you know what? It's not reinventing the wheel to get this Cunha deal done early when we haven't got the money. Like, it's not reinventing the wheel. You literally say to Wolves, you want 62.5 million. We can't give you 62.5 million. But what we can do is give you 15 million for the next 4 years, which takes it to 60. And then in year five, we'll give you another 10 or 15, which takes it to 75 or 70, which is more than 62.5. Do you want to do it? Wolves go, yeah. And we've just got to find 15 million before August the 31st. You know? So there's no... What we did last year with Elise was stupid. We're not going to do the deal until we've sold some players. But sometimes you've got to be... In football, you've got to take risks. So I've done that deal with Wolves in April, and I've got to find 15 million by the end of August. I don't need to sell Anthony, Rashford or qualify for the Champions League to find that 15 million. I don't need that 15 million now. I can take a bit of a gamble and go, by hook or by crook, I will find that 15 million by the end of August and next year and the year after that. And that's what we're going to have to do, because that's what Chelsea do. That's what other clubs do. What's the hotter meter for Cunha, Mark? Out of 10, 7. James Cave says, morning, everyone. Morning, Mark. Excited about these potential deals, but I think wing-back is so important. Do you think that's where they would see Semenyu playing? I don't think Semenyu's coming to Man United at all. I think you make a great point. I think that Semenyu at £70 million from Bournemouth, you don't need him. I'd say that deal's dead if we get Cunha. Said this last night. Cherki, Simmons, Semenyo, anybody who plays in that sort of wing attacking position, we just don't need this summer if we get Cunha, because you've got Cunha, you've got Mount, you've got Bruno, you've got Mainoo, you've got Ahmad, maybe Garnacho. You know, you've got a lot of players for that position. You don't need to go and spend another 50, 60 million. We're beating Bilbao, says Avram Glazer. I'm already thinking of the finals. Be positive. We're a good team. I'll bet anything on it. And Robert McCormack says, we're about 30% to win. You're right. We won't lose final. Here's a take you won't like. I'm convinced Amrin would choose Delap over Osman. Well, look. Yeah, I can't see how anybody with a brain would do that. I really don't. But I have to try and look at it and go, it could be based on, does he feel he can mould Delap more than he can mould Osimhen into his system. That's the only thing I would agree with you maybe on. And I keep forgetting about Xerxes as well, Sherman. It's because he's injured. Xerxes. We don't need another one. Exactly. We don't. Okay, thanks everyone for watching this morning. Really appreciate it. I'm back on the 2 o'clock show today. So, you know, just warning you, you won't be seeing Beth today. She's back tomorrow. So 2 o'clock is me, and it's 7 o'clock tonight as well, because I'm doing Villa against Man City. Watch along. Great watch along last night, by the way. So let's see what the day brings. Trina says, get Douglas Luiz. You're not the first person to say that, by the way. But big up to that. And, thanks everyone for watching, wherever you're watching from. Have a great day. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you all in a bit.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.